The Senate will be in order. Will everyone in the Senate and the galleries please rise for the prayer by the Reverend Gochen. Remain standing for the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag.
Unseelie would remind us, a little stress is like salt. It flavors the moment, but excess stress is killing us. Heavenly Father, you know that many of us strive on stress to accomplish those things we have set to complete. And it excites us, and it gives us a sense of purpose. But we know in these closing days there is very much to be accomplished, and our little stress is compounded, and our bodies and spirits are starting to feel the negative effects. And so we pray that your coming presence may be with us, and our hearts and minds find the serenity they need. In your holy name we pray. Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Madam Secretary, please call roll.
Senators Brown, Chappelle Nadal, Searpoy, Crawford, Cunningham, Curls, Dixon, Igel, Emery, Hageman, Holzman, Hoskins, Hummel, Kehoe, Koenig, Leibla, Munslinger, Nasheed, Onder, Richard, Riddle, Rizzo, Romine, Rowden, Sater, Schoff, Schatz, Shoup, Sifton, Wallingford, Walsh, Wasson, Whelan.
Senator Butler. Senator from Butler is here. Senator from Green. Senator from Green is here. A quorum being present, the Senate is in session. Madam Secretary, please read the journal.
Journal of the Senate, second regular session, 67th day, Wednesday, May 9th, 2018. The Senate met pursuant to adjournment. President Parson in the chair. Reverend Carl Gock offered the following prayer. Let us not love in word or in speech.
Senator McCall, what purpose you rise?
Thank you, Mr. President. I move that further reading of the journal be dispensed with and the same be approved as so having been fully passed.
The Senator from Cole has moved that further reading of the journal be dispensed with and the same be approved as fully read. Does any senator desire to be heard? Senator from Buchanan, what purpose do you rise?
Inquire of the Senator from the 14th.
Senator from the 14th, you yield to an inquiry from the Senator from Buchanan.
Yes, Mr. President.
Senator from Buchanan, you may proceed.
You recall that we were talking about the freedom to work and the Missourians for Worker Freedom.
Yes.
Okay, well, you know, it's interesting that the Ethics Commission had, you know, they filed their ethics report. And it's noted here that the Freedom to Work entity, which is China,
I know what you're talking about. Yeah, I'm with you now.
They received $500,000 from a new Missouri. That interesting? And today there was an article, you and I have talked about some articles, and there was an article, and it was reporting about Mike Hafner. Do you know who Mike Hafner is?
I think I've barely seen that name. I was reading the front page of the Post-Dispatch this morning, and they've got some really great articles. I didn't read that one.
Well, you and I have been talking about dark money. Well, the headline is, former aide says Greitens relied on charity donor list and dark money to kickstart his campaign. And it says, within days after Mike Hafner began work in January of 2015 as a full-time campaign staffer for Republican Eric Greitens, Hafner says he was presented with a copy of the donor list of The Mission Continues, the charity that Greitens helped found.
Is this the article that was in the St. Louis Public Radio? I remember reading something like that.
Yes. Anyway, he says, quote, "We had set a meeting to discuss the donor list so I could get notes from Eric and build a fundraising plan for his potential candidacy," Hafner said in an interview Wednesday. Hafner's primary job at that point was to set up a master track list for Greitens to use to make campaign-related phone calls to the donors who are already given to the charity. The donor list was crucial in those early months of fundraising, Hafner said. The Associated Press has calculated that at least $2 million was raised from the donor list for Greitens' successful campaign for Missouri governor. Hafner suspects the tally could be higher because some of the donors broached early on the idea of forming nonprofit groups so that their contributions could not be tracked. Think about that. The governor calls you up and says, please give me money for my campaign. And they said, let's see if we can figure out a way to create a nonprofit so that they can't track my contribution. Is there something illegal about that? Isn't it like collusion?
You know what? Let me tell you, you're talking about this right now, but this is the same sort of thing. And where I live, we've been dealing with at the federal level in the congressional district, and people have been wanting to know, like, where all of these mailers come from or certain expenses, et cetera. And people have never been able to figure that all out. But as this issue has been developing over the course of time, you know, it kind of looks like this entity, this group of people, they're not the only ones who've done this, unfortunately.
Well, he says, he goes on and he says, quote, "There was, in the very embryonic stages of the campaign, discussions already being had about C4s and LCs, two types of outside groups, and not disclosing the source of those contributions." You know, this is exactly what the people of Missouri are furious about.
Yeah.
I mean, trying to create a dark money committee so that you hide the source of your contribution. And that's exactly what A New Missouri has done. So, you know, they gave $500,000 to Freedom to Work, and it could have been anybody who gave them the money. You don't know who gave to A New Missouri, and so you don't know who's behind this. And the people of Missouri ought to know. I mean, that's why we have the Ethics Commission. That's why you go online and see this.
Yeah.
Is to expose those. Anyway, he goes on, and he says, toward the end of the article, he says, he has no axe to grind, emphasized that he was personally paying his own attorneys. He also added that he was not being paid by anybody to talk to the media. He simply wants to make sure the record is correct about his involvement in Greitens' early campaign and why he believes the public should pay attention. "I do believe in transparency in campaigns," Hafner said. He contended that Greitens was misleading the public when he appeared in St. Louis Public Radio's Politically Speaking podcast in January 2016 and declared that his campaign was transparent and that his donors be public. Although he was with Bruner's campaign by then, he says, "I knew what they were already planning with the secret money going to outside groups." By Hafner's calculation, Eric had at least $6 million in untraceable money.
Whoa.
And you know, to me, that's collusion. It's conspiracy to hide money from the people and to run his campaign. I mean, it should be illegal
Senator, it's not. I mean, you're speaking to the choir because I could tell you the same thing from last summer. You have all this money that was expended to quiet out my voice when it comes to radioactive waste, and there's all this money that was circulating around. I mean, there are people who were approached of just trying to take me out, seriously. And so, I mean, dark money is a problem in the state of Missouri. I'm pretty sure we're not the only ones who are negatively impacted by it. But it is ridiculous, and it needs to be in the sunlight so people know where this money is coming from. And the bottom line is that people have interest in this stuff. You know, of course corporations don't want to pay multi-billions or multi-millions of dollars. They don't want to do that.
Well, don't forget.
And there's another thing. Did you see the Post-Dispatch this morning? I don't have a copy of it. I just put it up on my Twitter, though. So one of the articles, it's just, I wish I had a copy of it here on the floor. But one of the articles deals with the NGA deal. And so all of us wanted to, including myself, wanted to make sure we kept those 3,000 workers right here in Missouri instead of going to another place. But it was interesting to note, it's called McKee Inflated Property Values for Tax Credits. You know, Paul McKee, you remember that China hub?
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah.
Okay, so what about this?
Aerotropolis.
Aerotropolis. My district. So I didn't know at the time, because I was still green, wet behind the ears. I was still vanilla. And I didn't know what people were trying. I just said, great, if there's development, it should be in the district. It creates jobs. I was thinking all the great things that people think when you want to put people to work, right? What I did not know is the way that the area, where the area was, I wasn't really ever sure. And if I wasn't sure as a senator who would have represented Aerotropolis, then I know that you guys weren't sure about where it actually was. So it actually, Aerotropolis was supposed to be built in a place in my district. If you guys have ever seen me with those big old maps on my desk, it's where Aerotropolis was supposed to be. So get this, this is what's interesting. What's interesting about where Aerotropolis was supposed to be was right on top of a landfill.
Oh.
Wait. Let me say that one more time. Aerotropolis, where it was supposed to be built, was right on top of a former landfill, and it was a burning landfill with radioactive waste 60 years before Westlake Landfill. What about that?
Wow. You know, I named it Ball Aerofloppolis.
World.
Remember that?
Huh?
I named it Aerofloppolis.
Well, it was a flop, but you know what happened? McKee ended up, he got all of these loans from these, because I have all the evidentiary information. It's 500 pages. If you read the lawsuit in 2011, the summary is about 24 pages, but when you look at the evidentiary information, it's about 500 pages of evidence. So when I look at the Post-Dispatch this morning, and by the way, you know, the banks ended up suing him for that property back, and then he got sued because he did not adequately remediate the property. You know what they did with the landfill, the contents of the landfill under Paul McKee? What they did with the contents of the landfill was basically shove it all around an area, just shove it all around. They got these big old trucks, and just, I told you I study the movement of dirt, right? So, like, literally, I do that. So in this lawsuit from 2011, they're looking at this like, wait a minute, you were supposed to clean this up. It's a landfill. You're trying to build on top of a landfill. You're supposed to clean this up in a certain way, right? They didn't do it. So the banks sued Paul McKee for like $30, $40 million. I don't remember how much. So then when we fast forward to the NGA, well, hold up a minute, hold up. The people who are supposed to be remediating that property, which is an older African-American area, which is an area where they think that there's also radioactive waste, called the NGA, where Pruitt-Igoe used to be, where they used to test with zinc cadmium sulfide, and the senator from the second is trying to get out
so
of
is
our
the senator
pathway
from the first.
Of speaking.
So I tell you what, there's just one more thing that I wanted
but
to say.
I'm not done about this. Okay. It's on the front page, Senator. This Paul McKee story continues, and right now we're finding out that he inflated the property values. He inflated the property values, and now they're in court again. And what I was trying to say before I saw the senator from the second trying to get out of the pathway of our debate and our conversation is that the same environmental company that did a crazy job of cleaning up radioactive waste and other things, the same company is the... That's the company dealing with the NGA. And so it scares me to death. But I'm so glad that these entities and the paper, our local paper, is finally realizing that Paul McKee is not all that he's cracked up to be.
Well, Senator, I want to talk to you again about this some more. But for right now, I guess we should let these senators get out. Is that okay with you?
For a moment, yes.
For a moment. Thank you, Mr. President.
The Senate is on the order of business for the approval of the journal. Does any other senator desire to be heard? Senator from the 7th, what purpose do you rise?
Thank you, Mr. President. Moment of personal privilege.
The Senate will come to order. The Senator from the 7th has requested a point of personal privilege. Senator from the 7th.
Thank you, Mr. President. You know, we all here with the support of our spouses, and we also like to celebrate our colleagues and their milestones, and today our colleague from the 24th is celebrating her 32nd anniversary to her husband Mark, and I know that for what our spouses have to suffer and put up with, they're counting the hours down just like we are, and so I just wanted to take a minute to congratulate the Senator from the 24th on 32 years and have the chamber appreciate that Mark has put up with her for this long. Thank you, Mr. President.
The Senate is on the order of business of approval of the journal. Does any other senator desire to be heard? Does any other senator desire to be heard? Hearing none, Senator McCole, you recognize close.
Thank you, Mr. President. Did the senator from the 24th husband get a standing ovation? Mr. President, I close.
Those of the opinion that motion shall prevail, say aye.
Aye.
Those of the contrary, say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. Motion carries, Senator McCole.
Mr. President, for the benefit of the body, Lisa Nelson with Missouri Net has been granted permission to take photo and video in the Senate chamber today.
Petitions, memorials, remonstrances. Petitions, memorials, remonstrances. Hearing none. Resolutions. Senator from Buchanan, what purpose do you write?
I have some resolutions and that I would ask that they be printed in the journal.
Senator, please send your resolutions forward.
No explanation necessary.
Thank you, Senator. They will be printed in the journal. Okay. Senator, we're going to send them up. Senator, you'll need to make those requests one at a time per resolution. And Senator, probably we have to distinguish which resolution, so if you could put a name on them or... The first... The first one shall be printed in the journal. Senator Buchanan.
I have another resolution.
Please send your resolution forward. Shall be printed in the journal. Senator Buchanan.
Mr. President, I have another resolution.
Please send your resolution forward. It shall be printed in the journal. It didn't. Senator Buchanan.
Mr. President, I have another resolution.
Please send your resolution forward. That resolution shall be printed in the journal.
President, I have another resolution. Mr. President, please, I have another resolution.
Please send your resolution forward. Your resolution shall be printed in the journal. Senator from Buchanan.
Mr. President, I have another resolution.
Please send your resolution forward. Your resolution shall be printed in the journal. Senator from Buchanan.
Mr. President, I have another resolution.
Please send your resolution forward. Your resolution shall be printed in the journal. Senator Buchanan.
Mr. President, I have another resolution.
Please send your resolution forward. Your resolution shall be printed in the journal. Senator Buchanan.
Mr. President, I have another resolution.
Please send your resolution forward. Your resolution shall be printed in the journal. Senator from Buchanan.
Mr. President, I have another resolution.
Please send your resolution forward. Your resolution shall be printed in the journal. Senator Buchanan.
Mr. President, I have another resolution.
Please send your resolution forward. Senator, just so I'm clear, you didn't want any explanation on any of the resolutions, correct? Thank you. Your resolution will be printed in the journal. Senator Buchanan.
The resolution.
Please send your resolution forward. Your resolution shall be printed in the journal. Senator from Buchanan.
Mr. President, I have another resolution.
Please send your resolution forward. Your resolution shall be printed in the journal. Senator from Buchanan.
Mr. President, I have another resolution.
Please send your resolution forward. Your resolution shall be printed in the journal. Senator Buchanan, please send your last resolution forward. Your resolution shall be printed in the journal. The assents on the order of business for resolutions. Resolutions. Hearing none. Concurrent resolutions. Senator Callaway, what purpose do you rise?
Mr. President, could I inquire of the senator from the ninth?
Senator from the ninth, do you yield to the inquiry from the senator from Callaway?
I do.
Senator from Callaway, you may proceed.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senator, I know that we're in the last few days of session, and so
I shouldn't
be taking time. And I thought you might know this rule that we aren't supposed to be introducing special guests, correct?
That's correct.
So I didn't want to do that, but I did think you might enjoy all those great young people in the green shirts up there. They're third graders from Van Far in Vandalia, along with their teachers. And I just wanted to wave at them and let them know who their senator was. And my good friend, the Senator Curls from Kansas City. Thank you, Senator, for the...
Turn around.
I did. You can gavel me.
Concurrent resolutions. The Senate's on the order of business of concurrent resolutions. Hearing none. Senator from Cole. You may.
Are we allowed to use other senators' names on the floor?
We are not.
Thank you, Mr. President. Without objection, the Senate will go to the order of business of reports of standing committees, and I'd ask you to recognize the Senator from Webster County.
Senator from Webster, what purpose do you rise?
Thank you, Mr. President. Your Standing Committee on Physical Oversight has a report.
Please send your reports forward. Madam Secretary, please read reports.
Mr. President, your Committee on Fiscal Oversight, to which was referred House Committee Substitute House Bill 1872, begs leave to report that it has considered the same and recommends that the bill do pass. Also, Mr. President, your Committee on Fiscal Oversight, to which was referred House Bill 1719 with Senate Committee Substitute, begs leave to report that it has considered the same and recommends that the bill do pass. Also, Mr. President, your Committee on Fiscal Oversight, to which was referred House Bill 1516, begs leave to report that it has considered the same and recommends that the bill do pass. Also, Mr. President, your Committee on Fiscal Oversight, to which was referred House Committee Substitute House Bill 1456 with Senate Committee Substitute, begs leave to report that it has considered the same and recommends that the bill do pass. Also, Mr. President, your Committee on Fiscal Oversight, to which was referred House Committee Substitute House Bill 1388 with Senate Committee Substitute, begs leave to report that it has considered the same and recommends that the bill do pass. Respectfully submitted, Senator Cunningham, Chairman.
Senator from Newton, what purpose do you rise?
Thank you, Mr. President. I have a committee report from your Committee on Gubernatorial Appointments. A list of the appointments has been distributed on the desk, and I would ask for a waiver of the reading.
Please send your report forward. Hearing no objection, the reading will be waived.
Mr. President, I request unanimous consent to vote on the reports in one motion.
Hearing no objection.
Mr. President, I move the committee reports be adopted. The Senate do give advisory consent to the appointments.
Does any senator desire to be heard? Does any senator desire to be heard? Hearing none, Senator Newton, you're recognized. Close on
your I renew my motion.
Those opinion that motion shall prevail, say aye. Those opposed, say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The motion carries.
Senator from Christian, you have a report.
President, your Committee on Economic Development has a report.
Send the report forward.
Damn, Cunning.
Madam Secretary, read the report.
Mr. President, your Committee on Economic Development, to which was referred House Bill 2039, begs leave to report that it has considered the same and recommends that the bill do pass. Respectfully submitted, Senator Wasson, Chairman.
Senator from Cole.
Thank you, Mr. President. Would you inquire from the Secretary if there are messages from the House? If so, I'd ask them to please be read.
There are messages from the House. Madam Secretary, please read the messages.
Mr. President, I'm instructed by the House of Representatives to inform the Senate that the House has taken up and passed House Committee Substitute, Senate Bill 597, entitled An Act Relating to Fees for Insurance Services with House Amendment 1, House Amendment 2, House Amendment 3, House Amendment 4, titling change adopted. Also, Mr. President, I am instructed by the House of Representatives to inform the Senate that the House has taken up and passed House Committee Substitute, Senate Committee Substitute, Senate Bill 769, entitled An Act Relating to Financial Institutions. Also, Mr. President, I am instructed by the House of Representatives to inform the Senate that the House has taken up and passed Senate Substitute Number 2 for Senate Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 590 with House Amendment 1. Also, Mr. President, I am instructed by the House of Representatives to inform the Senate that the House has taken up and adopted the Conference Committee Report on Senate Substitute for Senate Committee Substitute for House Committee Substitute for House Bill 1879 as amended, and has taken up and passed Conference Committee Substitute for Senate Committee Substitute for House Committee Substitute for House Bill 1879. Also, Mr. President, I am instructed by the House of Representatives to inform the Senate that the House refuses to adopt Senate Substitute for Senate Committee Substitute for House Bill 1350 as amended, and requests the Senate to recede from its position, and failing to do so, grant the House a conference thereon. Respectfully submitted, Daniel Adam Kremlis, Chief Clerk.
Senator from the 11th, what purpose do you rise?
I don't know if it's on. There you go. Thank you, Mr. President. Can I inquire the senator from Cole real quick?
Senator from Cole, do you yield to inquire from the senator from the 11th? Senator from the 11th, you may proceed.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senator, I just wanted to take a brief moment, if we could, because I know in our last few weeks here, we're all concerned with our health and eating right and doing right. And the doctor of the day is over there from my district, Dr. Potts, and he's been down here a couple times earlier this year. But that's what I would have done. I would have, but we're not able to still do that. But I want to.
Lincoln County, as you were saying that.
Well, we can all.
I didn't know if that was an indication of anything. That the doctor might have to take a look at him.
Senator, we can all do better.
I agree.
So, I thank agree. You very much.
I'm sure this. We're all happy that the doctor of the day is here today. What part of your district is he from?
We haven't gotten into that, but his wife and him have been very pillars of the community for a very long time. So I'm very excited to have him down here again, and I hope that nobody falls ill, but if they do, they will be in capable hands.
That's great. We're happy to have the doctor of the day here.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Mr. President.
Senator Newton, my purpose you rise.
Please refer House Committee Substitute House Bill numbers 2280, 2120, 1468, 1616 to the Committee on Fiscal Oversight.
They shall be referred to Fiscal Oversight. Senator McCall.
Would you please inquire again with the Secretary if there are messages from the House? If so, I'd ask them to please be read.
There are messages from the House. Madam Secretary, please read the messages.
Mr. President, I'm instructed by the House of Representatives to inform the Senate that the House has taken up and passed House Committee Substitute, Senate Committee Substitute, Senate Bill 598, entitled An Act Relating to the Department of Transportation Utility Corridor with House Amendment 1. Also, Mr. President, I'm instructed by the House of Representatives to inform the Senate Representative Hafner has been removed from the Conference Committee 4, House Committee Substitute, Senate Bill 660, as amended. The Speaker has appointed Representative Franklin to the Conference Committee 4, House Committee Substitute, Senate Bill 660, as amended. Respectfully submitted, Daniel Adam Crumless, Chief Clerk.
Sarah McCall. Jan.
Thank you, Mr. President. Would you please recognize the senator from the 13th District for a privileged motion on Senate Bill 892?
Senator from the 13th, what purpose do you rise?
I have a privileged motion.
Please state your privileged motion.
I move that the Conference Committee report on Senate Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 892 be taken up for adoption.
You heard the motion made by the Senator from the 13th. Those of the opinion that motion shall prevail, say aye.
Aye.
Those of the contrary say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The bill is before the body. Senator from 13th.
Mr. President, Senate Bill 892 was the prosecutor's bill. It left here. It went over to the House, and it has 5 amendments. The First Amendment changed the title to Public Employee Retirement System.
Senator, that was offered Senator 13th, can you hold on just a second?
Yes. Please?
Senator, just so I'm clear, you're fine. The bill is in front of the body right now. You do have some amendments that you'll have to adopt as you go through this.
Actually, I have. It's a conference committee substitute. Is that right? It's. Yes.
All right, Senator from the 13th, you may proceed.
Mr. President, this Senate committee, or this conference committee substitute has 5 amendments in them. The first one changes the title of the bill to read Public Employee Retirement System. That was introduced by Representative Walker. The second amendment was modifying provisions of the public school retirement system in Kansas City that I believe belonged to the senator from the 9th. The third amendment was allowing employees of metropolitan planning and organizations to join local government employees' retirement system. The fourth amendment was allowing employees of the soil and water conservation districts to join local government employees' retirement system, which I believe was the senator from the 18th. Amendment 5 was allowing teachers retired from public schools employee retirement systems to be employed in a position covered under the public education employees retirement system without stopping retirement benefits. The last one was cleanup language that had this language mirror House Bill 1291, which we passed out of here. And I'm happy to take any questions. All of these amendments, Mr. President, passed through both chambers without any issues. There is no impact on state funds on any of them.
You've heard the motion made from the Senator from the 13th. The Senator from the 13th moves for the adoption of the Conference Committee report on Senate Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 892. Does any senator desire to be heard? Senator from Butler, what purpose do you rise?
Thank you, Mr. President. To inquire the Senator from the 13th.
Senator 13th, you yield and inquire the senator from Butler.
Absolutely.
Senator from Butler, you may proceed.
Good morning, Ed, Senator.
Good morning.
I notice this is a bill that is unfairly treated. Five prosecutors in the state of Missouri that are being, for lack of a better term, ripped off on their amount of years they have served, and they're losing 60% of their vesting years. And
40.
4 years?
40.
Oh, 40%?
40%, well, not 60%.
So when you're promised something, and just because in the rural areas you're considered part-time, and some of these prosecutors work part-time just for a very short time, then they're full-time, and then they're losing because they were promised every year that they were there that they were going to be vested. So what this bill actually does, it's wrote out. The senator from Lewis has got one of those prosecutors, and there's others, and I'm not going to go down the line. But those people were promised when they went to work that they were going to get their retirement vesting years that they had. And I just don't think it's fair, and I just want to make sure the members of this assembly understand that there were five or less prosecutors that got reeled out of this thing after they were promised. I don't think anybody in this room, I was going to go through, and I may just do it anyway, I was going to go through what the retirement is a little bit in here for legislators and others here in the state. I want to see if I can find that.
I want to back up a little bit, Senator, because there's not five or less. There's seven or more. Well, and the other thing is,
you know what? It doesn't really make any difference if it's 25. But the reason why
we don't mind changing things in here for other people, like teachers and things, all the time. We change their pensions and stuff. And that's okay. And we did that a couple weeks ago for thousands of state workers. But when there's five or less or seven or more,
it doesn't
individuals
really make any difference
across
other than
the
fact that I
who
wanted
do
to mention
not pay into their pension plans, by the way.
Yeah, I understand. The only reason why I even mentioned that is because there was a little hullabaloo about it was really going to cause tremendous strain on the retirement system when there's really only five. And if that wouldn't have been mentioned, I probably wouldn't have even brought that number up. It didn't make any difference to me. Where I come from, when you give somebody your word, you give them your word. When those people went to work, they went to work under the auspices that their retirement, every year they worked there, they were going to get 1 year vesting. And now we're taking 40% of it. Make sure it's 40%.
1 year vesting for
part-time
work.
Taking 40% of it away. And there's nobody in this room would like to have 40% taken away of their vesting on the retirement that they have serving in this legislature. So I sure wish I had the three different retirement systems that everybody in this room are a part of, because there were some changes made during that time too. But everybody got grandfathered in. You may have been one of them that got grandfathered in.
I don't even know, Senator. I will probably never retire, so I don't know collecting
I
a pension.
What you're saying. We're both here still working.
I'm sorry.
And I said, that's right. We're still here working, and we
no,
may
but
never
I
retire,
intend to be working for a long time.
But there are people in this room that get grandfathered in, but yet,
and I may be one of them.
Yeah,
I don't know.
I think you are. And there's others, too. It's not just you. But we're not willing to grandfather in some prosecutors. Most of them came from rural areas that they were promised their retirement. And now we come along and try to cut them back 40% on their years. And I don't know. It just don't sit right with me, to be honest with you. And it just really, it's amazing. I think some of the younger legislators here, I'm on a different retirement system. You served in the House, isn't that right?
I did serve in the House.
How many years have you been in the board?
I served in the House for 8 years.
Okay. I'm not really sure I'd have to look. I don't have my schedule here with me. But I do know there was three different retirement systems going on. Probably the senator from Green, probably. He'd been here a long time. The senator from the 32nd. Most all those are grandfathered. Senator from the 14th, she's waving at me. They got all grandfathered in, and then the rest of us, if we come along, and then the sophomore classes, we knew what we were getting into, that our retirement's different. It's one thing about it when you sign up to do something and whatever's going on, that's what's going on. I don't have any problem with that. But when these prosecutors signed up to be a prosecutor, and their pay's really low anyway in some of our rural counties, we have murders there too, we have lots of crime, many times they're the only prosecutor. And it's just something about it that is not right when people sitting in this chamber have been grandfathered in under one of those two retirement systems I was talking about a few minutes ago. And I had it really readily available to me earlier, and I could went over to it in specifics. But that's basically the gist of it.
Senator, I'm having trouble hearing you, and it's not the noise in here. Your tenor, I don't know if you're coming through on the mic, because it's pretty quiet in here.
All right. Well, we're just going to stand here, if you don't mind.
I can inquire
somebody else. I've kind of made my point with you. And I appreciate the work you're doing on it, though. I mean, that's a good work.
Oh, and I appreciate you supporting the bill. Twice.
Yeah, that's right.
Actually, twice this year and twice last year.
But when you get into the weeds of the bill,
that's where I crawled out of the weeds
and got my periscope out and got to looking around. And I found that it would be somewhat hypocritical that if we get grandfathered in on our retirement systems here in the chamber and we let five prosecutors out there get waylaid on their retirement,
Senator,
and they don't get grandfathered in, I think that's just a bad, bad deal.
I respect what you're doing. That's up to you. You want to do this for one prosecutor? That's your business.
I didn't say one.
I know you said five, but there's one.
Because
I've spoke to the others that it impacts, and they agreed to this. So
say it again.
I said I spoke with the others, and they agreed with this. So the only one that's left out there is one I haven't talked to. And the fact of the matter is, nobody showed up to testify against it.
The only people that agreed with is that people wasn't getting changed.
No, when this went through committee...
Other than they were getting changed for the better.
When this went through committee, Senator, none of them showed up to testify against it this year.
You know why?
And last year, they did.
You know why? They don't have any assistants. I mean, they're down there prosecuting cases. They probably didn't have time to come up here.
Well, now they're full-time, employees, and their county will pay for their pensions now at a full-time rate.
Yeah, but...
And that's nice. I would have loved to have had a pension that I get that I didn't contribute to. So that's another thing.
Well,
but that's another
standard.
Argument altogether.
Yeah, it's a double standard. And I wish I knew this bill was coming up. I'd get more specifics on some other senators that have prosecutors in the same condition here in this room. And I do remember the senator from Lewis. You know, when you put 10 years into something and you lose 4 years of your vesting, that's a lot.
Well, they were promised part-time pensions.
No.
Well, we're just going to differ with opinion there. I've got the history in front of me, so you'll have to.
The financial guru, he was in here the other day, and the senator from Buchanan asked him if those senators were promised. If they were promised that retirement, senator from Buchanan sitting right here shaking his head. The finance guru was sitting over. He moved over to the other side of the room that worked on the retirement deal, and he shook his head. That those prosecutors were promised their retirement vesting. So here we are. Your bill is going back on that.
Whatever, Senator, you are entitled to your opinion.
It's a fact.
But to me, it is just an opinion. So, and if you want to make me stand here all day, I'm fine with that.
I'm not going to do that.
I brought good shoes just for you today, Senator.
Do what?
I brought a good pair of shoes just for you today.
I'll
stand here as long as you want me to.
Yeah. Well, don't get too pushy or we may be here a while. Because, I mean, I'm sorry I couldn't hear you. I said, don't get too pushy because I've been known to stand here a while. I said, don't. Do not get too pushy, because I have been known to stand here a
Senator,
while.
Senator, Mr. President, can we please keep decorum in our debate?
Well, we are.
I take exception with the senator calling me pushy, defending my legislation.
Senator, I'll remind both to be in proper decorum when you're in the Senate chambers.
Thank you, Mr. President.
I still don't have my the chart that I really need. But Anyway, we've already talked about the three different retirement systems that affect everybody. The senator
Dias
from Aldrain, I mean the prosecutor from Aldrain County, I think that's a senator from Callaway. I think that's hers. He was elected, or the, I don't know if it's a he or her, were elected in 2009. They have 10 years in, and now they're going to go back to 6 years. They're going to retro it back to 6 years. Senator from Lewis has a prosecutor that has served 11 years now. They're going to get 6.6 years of retirement vesting. And a prosecutor in Stoddard County who served 7 years under that promise is now going to be rolled back to 4.2. So really, there's only three. There is one in Montgomery, though. That's a senator from Callaway's County, too, I think. Was elected in 2013. They've been serving 5 years. They're going to get 3 years. And then a senator from Johnson. Senator from Johnson had a prosecutor in Livingston County that was elected in 2011, who has now served 7 or 8 years. They're going to get 4 years. So we've actually got one. And the reason why I'm going down this small list, Senator, is the argument that it was going to turn the retirement system upside down, that we have a vesting issue here, I find that really hard to believe. 2, 3, we have 5. The other two, they've already put in enough time, it didn't change them, so it's no problem. So that's my only argument, Senator, is the fact that we're in this room, a lot of us got grandfathered in. I may have got grandfathered in on something that the newer legislators, because this is my 6th year, and I'm not really sure without that list on whether or not it's been changed also, so I'm not really sure on that. Doing some adding, subtracting over there.
Did you ask me a question? Because I really can't hear you. I know you think I'm messing with you and that I'm pushy, but I'm not. I cannot hear you. I don't know if it's your enunciation or that the mic's not close enough.
Maybe my mic's not working.
It's working. Okay. I can hear your tenor. I cannot hear your words.
Maybe it's my southern accent.
Well, that could be, Senator.
Yeah, it could be. Did you hear any of that?
I did not hear the question you
asked.
Okay,
well, let's go back to it one more time then. All right. The senator from Callaway has a prosecutor that was elected in 2000.
I heard that part, but you just asked a question.
Okay, did I tail off?
Yes, okay. You tailed off.
I'll try not to. I got the microphone up close. So the senator from Callaway in 2009 had a prosecutor elected, spent 10 years there now, will only get 6 years of vesting. The senator from Lewis has a prosecutor in Rawls County, R-A-L-L-S, that was elected in 2007, that spent 11 years of their time working there in that county, and they're going to get like 6 years vesting. I have a county in Stoddard County. The prosecutor was elected in 2011, spent 7 years, and they're going to get 4 years. The senator from Callaway has another Montgomery County. The prosecutor was elected in 2013 and worked 5 years and only going to get 3 years now for your law being changed. And the senator from Johnson has a prosecutor working in Livingston County that was elected in 2011, 7 years ago, and they're going to get 4 years. Really, that's my only point, Senator. I don't plan on filibustering your bill. Did you hear that part?
Yes.
Okay. I'm not planning on filibustering your bill.
I think
there has been some good work on the bill.
I'm sorry?
Man, I hate repeating myself because I'm bragging on you now.
I know, that's why I'm not asking him to ask you face the dais, because I'm trying to watch your face and hear you.
Well, I'm not...
Just don't call me pushy, Senator, because you ain't seen pushy yet.
Well, maybe I should use a different word. But anyway...
Maybe.
I don't... Yeah, I'm going to stick with maybe. I don't plan on filibustering your bill, but there are senators in this room that have prosecutors that are being rolled back on a promise that they were made. You were here the day that gentleman right over there, standing right next to the staff for the senator from Buchanan's head, nodded back and forth, up and down, that those prosecutors were promised that vesting retirement plan.
Well, and I would like to talk to that gentleman, because when he's sitting over there and you and I are discussing, he's hearing stuff I say and stuff you say. So in all reality, if we have a question, he should either send a memo that says yes, but he shouldn't be sitting there doing this or this. And nobody in the room should be communicating with us like that from the side gallery.
Well, I think at that time...
Because it just doesn't get us where we need to be.
Yeah, I understand. I think at that time, there was probably some question on whether or not they were promised that or not.
Right. And I was also saying...
So anyway, what I'm going to do, I'm going to end my inquiry.
Different.
Yeah. Thank you so much. I appreciate the work that you have done on the bill.
Thank you, and I appreciate your vote on the bill.
We just kind of left a little something out that I felt was unfair. I appreciate it. Mr. President, thank you very much. Mr. President.
Yeah. Thank you, Senator Butler.
The Inquirer Center from Buchanan.
Senator Buchanan, you.
All right, Senator.
Okay, thank you for inquiring.
Senator from Buchanan, yield.
Yes.
Proceed.
Okay, so here we are in this situation, and I have to apologize as the chair of a committee that heard this bill. I was the only committee chair to hear this, but we acted upon the information that we had, and I wasn't aware of the seven prosecutors, but... Now we are where
five
we
now.
Are.
Five. Yes, five. It's affected.
Right now we are where we are.
Right.
And we have this bill, which is an important bill because it's the vehicle that has a couple of other provisions that we need. So if we analyze the situation, what we're attempting to do here is pass a bill that will probably get thrown out in court.
Oh, I see.
That provision.
I see. I remember reading that about the Constitution.
Right. The prosecutors...
Yeah, retro.
The prosecutors who have been disadvantaged, I believe one of them testified in committee that it's probably unconstitutional to do what they did. Because I'm not exactly sure, but there is a contract that is existing... And so what you're doing is kind of retroactively changing the terms of a contract.
Oh, you think they may throw the whole bill out?
Right. So,
oh, wow.
So here's the thing. If you want to, I can see a path forward here, but it would be a, it's, I don't know for sure that we could do it, but if you could convince the senator from the 13th, you might be able to take your amendment that you had offered, might have to do some fancy legislative footwork, might have to get a quick actuarial opinion in order to satisfy one provision of the law. But you could maybe send this thing back to conference, ask to exceed the differences, fix the problem, bring it back.
Well,
I don't at all know that that would work. It's probably not doable, but maybe it would be. But
right.
The other thing is that if you just let it ride, that provision in the bill probably is unconstitutional.
Yeah, since it's not my bill, and I don't know if the senator from the 13th heard that being unconstitutional.
Well,
part,
the problem is that that's the underlying bill.
Right.
So given that it's the underlying bill, if it goes away, does all the other stuff that's important go away? I don't know the answer to that. Normally, things are severable. You know, the part that's unconstitutional would be declared unconstitutional. I don't think the whole entire bill would, because there's some stuff on the Kansas City public school retirement.
Right.
There's some provision that the senator from St. Francois wanted about school bus drivers and some other provisions. And we do need to have these provisions pass if we can. So you can at least take solace in the notion that you really can't change a person's promised benefits going backward in time.
Well, I think maybe if that's the case, maybe all of ours might should be changed or something.
Well,
that'd be the next. Maybe that'd be the next bill or something.
So, I mean, it's either going to be that the court gives these members an accommodation, or they're going to throw out the entire provision. And I think that you're in a good place that way.
I see.
I don't. I can't guarantee it.
So you feel that the Senator from 13th bill is important enough that we should just go ahead and risk whether or not it gets thrown out by the court?
Well, the other fact is that her language is on a different bill that's moving, and it's already been passed through the chamber. So, unfortunately, you're not going to be able to stop it.
Right.
Number one, you're not going to be able to stop it. Number two, you do have an option of maybe negotiating some complicated go back to committee, I exceed the differences thing. Number three, you're probably going to win ultimately because, I mean, my understanding is that there was testimony that it would be illegal to do that. And I'm looking at Michael, and he is, I mean, he's going to write us a note, but...
He's making a note?
You know, who knows what ultimately happens, because you can never know what the court will say, but it would appear to me that if we pass a law that is changing the rules of the game, you know, halfway through the game or in the middle of the game, then they're going to declare that unconstitutional.
I see.
So anyway...
Well, I just think I'll probably vote no. I didn't have no intention of filibustering the bill.
I know
that. I just wanted to make sure, you know, if I was, we'd be talking about, or I'd be talking about my alley cat.
Well, I just have to say that it really bothers me to do something to some elected officials that is wrong. And it's wrong to change the rules, you know, after they've been promised.
Yeah, that's right. And it really doesn't make a difference whether it's prosecutors or who it is. I mean, it's just not right. When somebody's promised something, they should be able to receive it.
Okay, so it was in the House Pensions Committee a year ago. A witness believed it would violate constitutional impairment of contracts clause, which is what I was saying.
I see.
You can't change the contract.
But that's exactly what the Senator from 13th bill is doing.
It is. It is. And so you're probably going to win. Ultimately.
Okay.
And, I mean, those prosecutors are probably going to win. If you let the bill go, probably that will happen. The other provisions are needed, and plus it's going to pass on another bill anyway.
I see.
So that's kind of complicated, but...
Well, again, I had no plan to filibuster the bill, number one. You know that.
Your only other option would be to negotiate with the Senator.
I don't think the Senator from the... I mean, that's up to Senator 13th. I mean, it's her bill. So I'm just going to move on. I'm just going to suggest the members of this chamber decide what they want to do, whether or not they want to vote for a bill that goes back on a promise to prosecutors that were told when they were hired that their vesting was going to be this, and ends up legislatively they lose 40% of their benefit.
Well, I think that this language already was voted out of this chamber, but people didn't know. I mean, the fellow senators didn't know this information at
the
time.
Well, we know now if this
I don't think.
Before.
So anyway, I appreciate the inquiry.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
The Senate is on the order of business of adoption of the conference committee report for Senate Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 892. Does any senator desire to be heard?
I just want to say I was finished.
Senator from Butler.
Thank you.
Does any other senator desire to be heard? Senator from Green, what purpose do you rise?
To speak on the report.
Senator, you may proceed.
Thank you, Mr. President. Just briefly, with respect to my colleagues, I do need to speak in favor of the conference committee report and give a little bit of history. I do find myself sympathetic to the, somewhat sympathetic to the concerns that have been raised about changing things, but there is more to the story than that. A few years ago, noticing that the pension was financially problematic, and kind of moving along the lines of restructuring state government, our committee sat down with the prosecutors to find a way to structurally address the system, not the pension system, but actually our prosecutorial system, because all of us know that we come up here to represent our areas, and we hear from every entity that receives state money, we need more money. But there's not a lobby out there for restructuring state government and making it more efficient. Most of our structures are rooted in our 1875 Constitution. So with that in mind, we set out to start with one county official to make things a little bit more efficient. And it wasn't a mandate from Jefferson City. It was with a vote of the people in those counties. And not to make it too long of a story, but we thought we would take the prosecutors. It was actually an idea that came from some of the prosecutors. And with a vote of the people in both counties adjoining, it would allow two counties to go together and hire one prosecutor if they so chose. Well, long story short, and we thought that that would also help the pension program. And the long story short, that split the Prosecutors Association, and because a number of them, and quite frankly, it was the same, essentially the same group that is upset about this pension change. They did not want that because they wanted to continue in the positions that they had, and they were concerned, quite frankly, that the county that they're in might decide to hire one prosecutor. And I found that problematic. We did change the language to where it required a 5/7 majority in order to pass. But so we find ourselves basically over a barrel. And I'm sorry, but those who refused reform have put themselves in this position. And so I'm going to support this, and I want to thank the senator from the 13th District for bringing it forward. Thank you, Mr. President.
Senator from Callaway, what purpose do you rise?
Mr. President, pursuant to Rule 91, I request unanimous consent to be excused from any votes on this bill.
Hearing no objection, Senator, you will be excused from voting on this bill.
Thank you.
Does any other senator desire to be heard? Senator Buchanan, what purpose do you rise? Senator of the 14th, you yield to inquire of the Senator from Buchanan.
President.
Senator Buchanan, you may proceed.
Okay, well, the senators are having a discussion, and so I kind of want to hold the floor for just a little short time here. And for that reason, I thought I might talk to you about an article that appeared 1 hour and 2 minutes ago in the Kansas City Star. And the article says, "Right to Work Constitutional Amendment Speeding Through Missouri House." It says, "Missouri lawmakers have fast-tracked a bill that would put a right-to-work law in the state's constitution in the hopes of rushing it through the process and across the finish line before the legislative session ends at 6 p.m. next Friday. The expedited legislative push comes after a failed effort by a political action committee called Freedom to Work to collect enough signatures to put the Right to Work Amendment on the statewide ballot later this year, despite spending more than $750,000 on the campaign since January." Okay, so anyway, it goes on to talk about the money. It says, "Freedom to Work sought to undercut the repeal with an initiative petition in favor of Right to Work, but the effort fizzled. The deadline was Sunday, whereas other proposals made it on." And then it talks about most of Freedom to Work's money came from Greitens nonprofit, A New Missouri, Inc. And most of Freedom to Work's spending went to some of Greitens' closest political allies.
A new Missouri, which doesn't have to disclose where it gets its money, donated $1.2 million in January to Freedom to Work. Since that time, Freedom to Work paid $600,000 to Vanguard Field Strategies to collect signatures.
Well, I'm looking at this article right now, and I see Aaron Baker's on here.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Aaron Baker is part of that August event last year. He's right behind that.
Well, anyway, it says Vanguard is owned by Jeff Rowe, a veteran GOP consultant whose public relations firm is working on behalf of the governor's legal defense team. One of Rowe's top lieutenants, Aaron Baker, is registered to lobby on the governor's behalf as he works to stave off possible impeachment in the legislature. Then it goes on to talk about all the things that you and I talked about in the other day. But it
so Rowe, I don't know your Republican side of things, but Rowe is part of the Axiom Strategies. And I'm looking at that. Axiom Strategies, or what is it? Yeah, Axiom.
Yeah, $375,000,
yeah,
I think they got.
Yeah, I'm looking at that. And so they're the ones who were trying to kill my legislation dealing with radioactive waste last year. Axiom, it was a triad of people. So it was Axiom Strategies and Aaron Baker and John Barget. And who was the other one? Let me keep thinking. Oh, yeah. And Andy Blunt.
Well, anyway, it says, this is the part that I was trying to get to. It says, on Wednesday, which was yesterday, a new Missouri gave Freedom to Work an additional $500,000. Also on Wednesday, Representative Bratton's bill, putting right to work in the Constitution, was approved by two House committees. So, you know, two things happen at the same time. Doesn't mean that they're related, but it makes you wonder whether they're related.
Well, I would take it a next step, but, I mean, you and I are on different sides of certain things, and it's okay. But for the people who are pushing this in the House, I would like to see, did they sign the special session or not?
Well, that occurred to me also. But the thing is that when you see two things occur at the same time, you wonder if they're related. I mean, did they give the $500,000 from A New Missouri to Freedom to Work only after they moved that bill that would put it, you know, that it's going to be coming to the Senate more than likely? And so you kind of wonder, I just would like to have sunshine. I mean, you and I are on the opposite side of the right to work debate.
Yes.
But that's okay. I think both of us are aligned, however, in wanting to get rid of the dark money. But
absolutely.
But anyway, it says State Representative Mark Ellebracht called into question the timing of the $500,000 donation. The fundraising wing of their failed initiative petition getting $500,000 from Greitens' dark money PAC the day this bill is heard in committee is highly suspicious. And, I mean, I would have to agree with that. But it says the full House could vote this week to send the bill to the Senate, which would then have 5 days to hold a public hearing, vote it out of committee, and overcome a likely filibuster by Democrats in order to put the proposal on the statewide ballot. So now we have this issue, the dark money, the $500,000 from A New Missouri. It's going to come and it's going to impact on how the rest of this session goes down here in this chamber. And so you can see that happening. We are caught up in the swirl of dark money, A New Missouri. We don't know where the money came from. And now it's going to impact us. That's really what I wanted to talk to you about. But I don't know if they're done.
And then you have to ask yourself, who's willing to pull the PQ? Who's willing to sign the PQ on that?
Well, more than likely, there would be enough votes for that. More than likely. There is a senator who thinks that Jeff Rowe is today's Tom Pendergast.
Oh, and I've heard stories.
Oh.
I've heard, in fact, yeah, we've been talking about,
you know,
him
what I heard?
In my office.
It used to be in those days that the most powerful elected person was the coroner.
Wow.
Because because if the body was hanging off the viaduct, the coroner could obviously, with their hands tied behind the back, the coroner could surely rule it as a suicide. Or if they had multiple gunshot wounds to the head, you know. Anyway. Well, so...
Well, that's interesting. I don't know what the senator from Butler is trying to do with the senator from the third.
I think he's ready. Are you ready? Or
I don't know what he's talking about. Maybe I'm going to hear what he has to say. Well, I do know, Senator, that there's an article that I do want to read on the floor today that was on the front page of the Post-Dispatch. I think it's a very critical article. There is also a quote from the senator from the fifth.
Well, you'll have plenty of time, I'm sure.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. I just wanted to let you know that that's probably going to come up at some point.
Thank you for the inquiry.
Thank you, Mr.
President. Does any other senator desire to be heard? Does any other senator desire to be heard on the conference committee report? Hearing none, Senator 13th, you're recognized to close on the adoption of the conference committee report.
I close.
The Senator 13th moves that the conference committee report on Senate committee substitute for Senate Bill 892 as amended be adopted. Those of the opinion that motion shall prevail say aye.
Aye.
Those of the contrary, I'm sorry, those in favor will vote aye. Those of the contrary will vote no. Madam Secretary, please call the roll.
Senators Brown, Chappelle Nadal, Searpoy, Crawford, Cunningham, Curls, Dixon, Igel, Emery, Hageman, Holzman, Hoskins, Hummel, Kehoe, Koenig, Leibla, Munslinger, Nasheed, Onder, Richard, Rizzo, Romine, Rowden, Sater, Schoff, Schatz, Shoup, Sifton, Wallingford, Walsh, Wasson, Whelan.
Senator from the 14th. Senator from the 14th votes aye. By your vote of 26 ayes and 3 noes, the conference committee report is adopted. Senator 13.
Move that conference committee substitute for Senate committee substitute for Senate Bill 892 be third read and finally passed.
You've heard the motion made by the senator from the 13th. Does any senator desire to be heard? Does any senator desire to be heard? Hearing none, Senator from the 13th, you're recognized to close.
Mr. President, I close.
The senator from the 13th moves that conference committee substitute for Senate committee substitute for Senate Bill 892 be read a third time and finally passed. Those of the opinion that motion shall prevail will vote aye. Those of the contrary will vote no. Madam Secretary, please read the bill and call the roll.
Conference committee substitute for Senate committee substitute for Senate Bill number 892, an act relating to public employee retirement systems. Senators Brown, Chappelle Nadal, Searpoy, Crawford. Cunningham. Curls. Dixon. Igel. Emery. Hageman. Holzman. Hoskins. Hummel. Kehoe. Koenig. Leibler. Munslinger. Nasheed. Onder. Richard. Rizzo. Romine. Rowden. Sater. Schoff. Schatz. Shoup. Sifton. Wallingford. Walsh. Wasson. Whelan.
By your vote of 23 ayes and 3 noes, the bill having received a constitutional majority is declared passed. Hearing no objection, let the journal show the tiling and perfecting motions were made and carried. Senator McCall.
Thank you, Mr. President. Without objection, the Senate will go to the order of business of third reading of Senate bills. I'd ask that you call the calendar.
Hearing no objection, the Senate will go to the order of business of Senate bills for third reading. Senate Substitute Number 2 for Senate Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 949. Senator from Barton.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move that Senate Substitute Number 2 for Senate Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 949 be taken up for third reading and final passage.
You've heard the motion made by the Senator from Barton. All those in favor of that motion say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The bill is before the body.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move that Senate Substitute for Senate Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 949 be read a third time and put on its final passage. This is the education, the early reading bill, K through 3 reading bill that we perfected on Tuesday evening. It also has the Braille instruction amendment from the senator from the 4th. It establishes reading success plans for anyone who is not reading at grade level through K through 3, and those assessments continue through the 8th grade until they do achieve reading at grade level. I'm happy to take any questions, Mr. President. Otherwise, I renew my motion.
Does any senator desire to be heard? Senator from Butler, what purpose do you rise?
Senator from Barton.
Senator from Barton, do you yield to inquiry from the Senator from Butler?
I do.
I am proud to say I really like your bill.
Thank you, Senator.
Really, reading is a big deal. If you can't read, you're destined for a life of misery.
It is the most fundamental thing that we have to learn.
Well, you know, I actually have students, and I'm sure I don't have a monopoly on it in my district, but I have students graduating from high school who can't read at first grade level.
Right.
Yeah. Now, that's sad this day and time, but that's what's happening.
It is.
And then we wonder why our crime's so high. And then we wonder why things don't work out for families and so on and so forth, and people that's underemployed. I didn't necessarily mean unemployed. I meant underemployed.
That's
because they weren't able to move on with their dreams or being able to be an engineer or be a doctor or whatever. But there's a lot of work being done down in my district with some foundation work that's helping with after school, putting in some laptop computers, some learning software, testing for learning disabilities, like dyslexia and other stuff. And anyway, I just wanted to say it's a really, really good bill.
Thank you, Senator.
Hope I don't jinx it or something. But
thank you.
Good bill.
Does any senator desire to be heard? Does any senator desire to be heard on Senate Substitute Number 2 for Senate Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 949? Hearing none. Senator from Barton, you're recognized. Close.
Thank you, Mr. President. I renew my motion.
The Senator from Barton renews his motion that Senate Substitute Number 2 for Senate Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 949 be read a third time and finally passed. Madam Secretary, please read the bill and call the roll.
Senate Substitute Number 2 for Senate Committee Substitute for Senate Bill Number 949, an act relating to reading interventions in schools. Senators Brown, Chappelle-Nadal, Searpoy, Crawford, Cunningham, Curls, Dixon, Igel, Emery, Hageman, Holzman, Hoskins, Hummel, Kehoe, Koenig, Leibler, Munslinger, Nasheed, Onder, Richard, Riddle, Rizzo, Romine, Rowden, Sater, Schoff, Schatz, Shoup, Sifton, Wallingford, Walsh, Wasson, Whelan.
Chairman Green. Chairman Green votes aye. Chairman 13. Chairman 13 votes aye. By your vote of 32 ayes and 0 noes, the bill having received a constitutional majority is declared passed. Hearing no objection, let the journal show the titling and perfecting motions were made and carried. Senator Cole.
Thank you, Mr. President. Without objection, Senate will go to the order of business of announcements.
Hearing no objection, the Senate will go to the order of business of announcements. Senator Cole.
Mr. President, I have an announcement. In a moment, I'm going to make a recess motion until 1300. But if there are members involved in conference committees, I understand the House is about to recess as well. If they would just keep my office informed, we will not come back in until those conference committees that had a chance to meet. We're happy to work with people. If they just let us know what the status is, we'll try to work around that.
The sense on your business of announcements. Announcements. Hearing none. Senator from Cole.
Thank you, Mr. President. No further business coming before the body. I move the Senate stand in recess until 1300 this day.
The Senator from Cole moves the Senate stand in recess till 1 p.m. this day. All those in favor of that motion say aye. Those opposed say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The Senate will stand in recess till 1 p.m. this day.